I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, I'm gonna play the clip. What's it going to be?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first of many podcasts called the Football Ramble.
Game as a player, Kevin Keegan left the Newcastle pitch in a helicopter in his kit.
Great point.
Easy, easy, easy.
Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Welcome along to the Football Ramble.
Welcome to the Football Ramble.
I'm joined by Chimmers.
Hello.
Hello, Chimmers. I'm joined by Luke.
Hello.
And also Chris.
Hello.
How are we doing, Chips?
Hello.
Yeah. All right,
yeah,
thanks,
all right,
mate.
Thanks.
Not too bad,
yeah.
Chaps, new start for us. New start for Wembley. What do we reckon?
Well, I've been there.
Nor have I.
Well, I have. Chris, you haven't.
Yeah,
well.
I've been there as well, yeah.
What did you make of it?
Wasn't that impressed.
Well, you're not.
Welcome to the first two special episodes celebrating the 15th anniversary of the Football Ramble. Today, it's myself, Marcus, and Jim.
Hello!
Hello! Mm.
And the first question's got to be, what load of shit was that?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
You sound so different in that, Marcus.
Welcome to a Football Ramble.
Yeah, I was a proper geezer.
I came here for a ramble.
I came here for a podcast. What's the podcast? Ah, you'll find out.
What I found funny was very presumptuous of me to say the first of many podcasts.
You weren't wrong, though.
But no, I wasn't wrong.
You called it.
New start for us, though, Jim.
Indeed. I wasn't even there at the time, you might notice. I'm not sure everyone knows that I wasn't there for the first six episodes.
It's so funny hearing that back again because we sound so shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you think we're bad, it sounds pretty amateurish.
If you think we're bad now and amateurish... My goodness.
How did you decide on a kitchen for the recording studio?
Because Luke offered it up.
Yeah, he had one of
But you'll notice that Jim wasn't involved.
No.
But it was two other chaps, one of whom, after about a year, decided it wasn't for him, mm-hmm. and the other had to duck out fairly quickly because he went to work for a particular organisation in football and may have been compromised further down the line, which would have definitely happened.
Absolutely, that was the correct call.
He was very, very correct to yes. say that, dude, that, wasn't he? Yeah.
But I went to university with you and Luke, didn't I, Marcus? And I didn't actually know Luke at the time, but he slid into my DMs on MySpace, of all places. Mm. I was like, I remember him.
Yeah.
And explained the situation, explained that that Chimmers, as he was known in that yep. podcast, that you and Chimmers had mentioned me, and here we are.
Yeah, I never actually mentioned you, to be
honest.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, all right, fine. This whole thing's based on a lie, then.
Indeed, it is.
I thought I knew you.
It's a bit like how Tommy and Pamela came together. Apparently, it wasn't actually what he or she thought.
Yeah, Vish has been listening since that episode, by the way.
Yeah, he has.
Yes, yeah. I was there outside with my ear to the kitchen. Why can't I come in? I've got my oat milk in
there. Is this how long ago it was? Because it went up on our MySpace page.
Oh, I do not miss uploading that. Oh, that was complicated. We all had various, you know, periods of doing that ourselves, and that was no fun.
Well, yeah, as you probably guessed tuning into this, we are reliving some of our favourite moments from each year in the Rambles history and taking a journey through football history while we're at it. That audio you were listening to at the start was from the 31st of April 2007. That was the very first Ramble episode. You've kind of spoken a bit about how, I suppose, Jim, you came into the picture, and then obviously Pete a bit further down the line.
Yeah.
But Marcus, what was...
Yes.
How did the show come about at all?
Yeah, a few people often ask me that, and they're all family members, so it's nice to have somebody who isn't in the family ask me. The genesis of the Ramble really is in college radio, student radio. Luke, Jim, for a short time, and I went to Farnborough College of Technology, affiliated with the University of Surrey, and it was it felt like a university back in those days. It's changed now, but anyway, and
felt like an armpit.
It was, yeah.
Town felt like an armpit.
It was now, I think it's just an
ear. There's a different UCAS section for that, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's just, I think it's like an ear hole or something, you know.
Yeah, it's moved up in the world for sure.
Well, anyway, that's debatable. But it was the college radio. So Luke and I, and one or two others, one of the chaps on that clip, did college radio together. So that's where the sort of genesis of it was. And then a few years later, when we'd finished, I just happened to listen to some of those episodes, and I was sort of chuckling away, thinking, oh, they were good times. And I messaged the lad Chris, who's in that clip earlier, and said, oh, I've just been listening to some of the old shows. And he's responded, oh, yeah, I think it would make a good podcast. And I was like, well, what's a podcast? And I looked into it. And you would always say that, you know, that thing yeah. Ricky Gervais does with Carl Pilkington.
Yes, yeah.
And you'd even say that to people, like younger people and stuff. And even we were younger yeah. back then. And so that literally is it, like just a throwaway comment. And I was like, oh, it got me thinking. And then I messaged Luke. And of course, Luke loves to give an opinion. And any platform he's there, or was back in those days. And so, and I thought, well, yeah. And, you know, even back then, I thought Luke was an excellent pundit. I still do, obviously, but like genuinely, like really knows his sport and was very good at giving his opinions and so on. So Luke and myself and the two others, who one of the other guys got involved, and we were like, well, let's just sort of sit down and see where it goes. And you turn the mics on, you'd record for about 2.5 hours, and the poor lad Chris would be like, right, well, go on, then get something out of that yeah. sort of thing. But it was more of an excuse to kind of get together, which is why it was in Luke's kitchen.
Yeah, right.
In his rented accommodation in northwest London.
So my next question was going to be, I suppose, Jim, your involvement, and because I didn't really see a line there, but then you mentioned, Jim, you also did this student radio.
No, I was not involved in the student radio show itself,
right, okay.
because Luke was the year above us, wasn't he, Marcus?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right? Yeah, so I was working on different projects on that student radio show. Passion FM, if you're wondering.
Changed to Echo FM.
Echo FM now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You did the New Romantics hour, didn't you?
I possibly may have done. I literally can't. I do remember doing a show with my friend Sean, and it was Chimmers, and it was as live, and someone had sent us like a Badly Drawn Boy album. So we're like, I would just play a track off that, and we didn't do any planning, and the track was 20 seconds long. it was absolutely amateurish and a complete shambles, as it's, you know, it's kind of supposed to be, because that's where people are cutting their teeth. So no, I wasn't involved in it at all, really.
How would he know to reach out to you? This is
because, well, Marcus and I were friends at uni, because we were in the same class. I was only there for a year.
That's
I dropped out.
Friends or a year?
No. At the end, we became friends at the end of the year.
Again, when not how I remember
when
it.
When we sussed each other out.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I remember it being like sort of full-blown friendship at first sight from my point of view, mate.
Yeah. But, I think so, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, The halls I was living, that Marcus and I were living in at the time, were actually condemned while we lived in them. Do you remember?
They were being condemned.
Yeah.
By the time we left, I think it'd all been
essentially, everyone went feral because if you smashed down your own living quarters, it wouldn't matter because they were being demolished in the summer anyway. It's like, it was a ridiculous setting for an education. So that was kind of the background of it. My memory of it, because I was only there for a year, was very, very chaotic. Mm. But yeah, so my involvement came out of the fact that essentially Marcus and I got on really very well. I'd dropped out of the uni by then, and I knew Chimmers through other friends as well. So it was really just that it was, at that stage in your life, you say yes to things, don't you? Because we're pretty young and still kind of like figuring out what you want to do in the world. So when Luke just sent me that message on MySpace, I was like, yeah, this sounds great. I'll come along, see how it goes. It's only like every fortnight, so it's not a huge commitment. If it doesn't work out, you know, it's all good experience. And we're still here.
Do you not think it was a bit like, you know, back in those days, especially like the type of music, you know, we're predominantly into? It was kind of like, well, I'm too crap and I can't get into a band or anything, nothing like that.
We
it's
all
like,
want to be in a band.
Yeah,
really.
Of course. But this is our version of
exactly,
that, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when I say we all, I mean, surely every human being. That's what you'd rather be doing.
Vish would rather be an MC, a sucker MC.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I already am an MC.
In a
but
way.
I've got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, true enough.
All right, let's get into it, lads.
Woodgate going in as well! Tottenham take the lead in the first seconds of extra time! And it's Jonathan Woodgate!
The 2007-2008 season. The Premiership becomes the Premier League, and more importantly, the Conference National becomes the Blue Square Premier. Who could forget? Spurs win the League Cup. That's how long ago that was. Which is, of course, still their most recent trophy. That's for you, Jim. Manchester United retain the title, Vish, under Sir Alex Ferguson after the wheels quite dramatically fell off for Jose Mourinho's first reign at Chelsea.
I prefer really not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble.
Steve McLaren was England manager. And then 2 months after Jose, he wasn't. Poor old Steve.
Have you seen that film, The Faculty, where the aliens take over the teachers in the school?
That's what
happens to Capello. He's like, yes, I would really like to manage England. And people are like, what? Are you sure? Is that him talking?
You reckon he's been done by an alien?
He can't be telling the truth. He can't want it.
Of course, though, there were a couple of late Christmas presents that year. Roy Hodgson arrived at Fulham on the 30th of December 2007. And in January, Kevin Keegan returned to Newcastle United.
They'll either have a strong finish to the season and they won't get into Europe because I think they're too far behind, but they'll push for it. And it'll all be like, oh, it's Keegan Mania's back. And they'll sign Faustino Asprilla again for no reason. Or it'll go terribly and he'll quit before the end of the season.
Spoiler, it went badly.
Euro 2008 came and went, and then at the start of the 2008 season, Pete came and, well, stayed.
Fucking Ed Cahill.
Do you?
He's such a cunt.
The only reason I answered it is because it vibrated off my chest of drawers onto me and it woke me up. And it was Pete ringing. And I thought to myself, God, Pete never rings.
At what time was this?
Exactly 4:15 a.m. Right? And I thought, Pete never rings. He never answered the phone when I ring him. There must be something terrible happen. We've been done for live or something like that. And it can't wait.
Why would I know?
Like Marcus said. Yeah.
When I worked for Leicester City, cutting up pork.
You've had a run-in with John Cena, haven't you?
I've had a run-in with John Cena, yes. I made a joke about him having his mum having Osama bin Laden. I mean, never talk about wrestler's mum. That's your first. Yeah. I was on the hot hog stand at Leicester City on that season where they went down and they didn't win a single match forever. And I got paid like $3.50 or something. I'm sure it was elite. It was ridiculous.
Well, per hour, per pick. Per pick, yeah.
And one of the posh execs used to come out and go, and every time he used to come at me and goes, don't be shy with the old applesauce, your mother wasn't. Hey. Every single time.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Wow. Sounds like we're recording that in a cupboard under some stairs.
Oh, man. I mean, the audio has improved over the years, we can agree. Pete sounds a little bit more northeastern.
Yes, he does. He's been down in this London for
He sounds a little bit more feral in the sense of, like, you don't know. I mean, it's still the case now. You don't really know where his conversation's going to go. But he seems like, I picture him, you know, and this was about the time when I was listening to The Ramble, but with that voice, I picture him going through, telling his anecdotes, but holding a Stanley knife.
Yeah.
It all seems a bit like that. When you said that, you know, your halls of residence were being condemned, I thought that's when you met Pete.
Yep.
There's a building that needs to be destroyed here. Anything goes, and he just rocks up.
Yeah.
What's going on here then?
They used him as a wrecking ball.
But yeah, so how did it come to be that Pete was part of the four?
Well, after Chris decided he didn't want to do it again, we had a little bit of a mini crisis, didn't we? But Luke, mm-hmm. Luke knew Pete from having worked at him in radio before, hadn't he?
He slightly exaggerated how much he knew him.
Is that right?
Did he not say that they were friends?
Yeah.
And Pete was a bit like, well, I knew him a little bit.
Again, a bit like...
That might be as much more on Pete.
Yeah, true.
I think you could ask Pete that now and he'd say
exactly.
The same
thing. Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right, yeah.
And that does tend to downplay everything.
That's true. That's very, very true. Apart from when he was at Leicester City cutting up Paul.
Exactly. Yeah. So Luke kind of put up the ramble version of the bat signal in Pete's direction.
Yeah. No, Luke, he did.
And initially Pete came on as a guest, didn't he? And it did definitely help that he had access to studio space.
That was
the big part of it.
Yeah, very much so. That did help us.
We mentioned this man before, Kevin Keegan.
Oh, yeah.
I, you know, it's a product of the Ramble, and it's something that we have indulged in, you know, certainly in my time at the Ramble, not least with the Meat Industry Awards. But the caricature that the Ramble has created of Kevin Keegan, which is not too different from the man's real life self, as it were, and his adventures,
we're only reporting on what's
happening. Exactly. Yeah. But when did he become this caricature in the Ramble world?
That's a good question. To me, he'd always been that. It was me and my friends at school would joke about Kevin Keegan. And I think, to be completely honest, a lot of it was from Fantasy Football League, because they used to just, essentially, as Marcus has said, you just say the things that
Do
have
you know
happened.
What? For me, though,
he was always like this to me.
Yeah. But I even remember, because you're right, I think he's obviously got this reputation.
It was never like a conscious choice to make him a character, was it?
For me, it's slightly different. But to just back that point up, and we all know that I love mentioning Liam Gallagher as much as possible, but he, in an Oasis documentary, when Noel buggers off on the first tour of America, Liam Gallagher says, yeah, well, you know, our kid had his Kevin Keegan moment. You know, so obviously it's a thing. But for me, I think I was maybe oblivious of this. I just remember Keegan being this very charismatic, very likable man. And then on the Ramble, he just sort of came to be. So I can't really put my finger on that, if I'm honest. Whereas with Sven... who I'm not sure if we're going to talk about him later on, but with Sven...
I imagine you'll find a way.
Yeah. Still brought him up.
Yeah, I know.
No, but I would...
talk about how we might not talk about him. It's a Trojan horse.
With old Svenigans, it was like...
Here it is.
Whatever he was doing... I would always be like, oh, there's a story about Sven, and include it. And it was only Luke who called me out.
Why are you
this.
Saying that like that used to happen but doesn't happen anymore?
Okay, no, fine. But it was basically Luke pointed out, it was like, you're obsessed with Sven. Like, what? Why you keep going on about him? And it was kind of like, oh, yeah, I think I am. And I think with Keegan, it was something similar that it just sort of kept coming up. And then I think the caricature built itself. But I noticed that when we tweeted out people asking for people's highlights, of best moments from the Ramble over the years, which was really lovely of everybody to kind of get involved in. It was great reading them, and thank you so much for that. But you tweeted when Pete was going on about Kobe Jones.
Like, I have so many favourite Ramble moments, but for some reason, Pete going, I'm Kobe Jones, is just stuck in a loop on my head.
Kobe Jones.
He scored.
I'm Kobe Jones.
Wow.
I'm in Coventry. I'm in your sticker book, Pete. We can be friends. Kobe Jones.
Oh, Luke, where are you?
And I think that was a moment where I lost it, and everyone in the Ramble on the show lost it as well. And I think that's one of the things that I really connected to on the Ramble is those moments where, and we've had them on air quite a few times, where you just totally lose your shit.
The idea of this being a sort of professional thing that you're presenting is just derailed.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The footballramble.com. Star Spangled. I'm Kobe Jones, and I endorse this website.
Oh,
I live in Pete's wallet. If anyone can furnish you with a Panini sticker circa 93-94 season of Kobe Jones of Coventry, that'd be fantastic.
Man City was available for us, and Man City has a special
a special thing to the Manchester people, the fans, the people in Manchester, the people in the UK. 2008-2009
was a huge season in English football. At the start of September, Manchester City were bought by the Abu Dhabi Group and became the richest club in England. Arsenal finished fourth, obviously, while Newcastle United's 16-year spell in the top flight came to an end.
We've got no complaints. I can't come here and say that we were unlucky today or we were unlucky in the season because we never went down today. We went down because we weren't good enough over 38 games. That's a simple fact.
Things were starting to go south pretty rapidly for Luke's Portsmouth too. Out went Harry Redknapp and in stepped caretaker boss Tony Adams. Suppose he'd had his fun last summer.
And Portsmouth have won the FA Cup for the first time since 1939. And Harry Redknapp has led them into Europe for the first time.
By the end of the season, the Ramble was on the move, and so was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Manchester United have confirmed they've accepted a world record £80 million bid for Cristiano Ronaldo from Real Madrid. In a statement on the club's website, it says, "At Cristiano's request, who has again expressed his desire to leave, and after discussion with the player's representatives, United have agreed to give Real Madrid permission to talk to the player." It comes just days after...
We did have some regular features on the show around this point, of course, in the first few seasons, from the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, where we profiled figures from across football and maybe the odd stadium and the odd match and the odd club as well, to a segment devoted to all the latest news relating to the late, great Diego Maradona. And this Diego Corner comes from South Africa.
So, we saw Diego get involved in a bit of a... Was he peacemaker in the fisticuffs?
He was, actually.
He was, yeah.
He was getting amongst it. He's so short, though, bless him, that he couldn't really get involved,
yeah,
could he?
Yeah, yeah.
But you could see them all crowded around him, and as always, he was like the centre of attention. going into the Germany match, it's Saturday, isn't it?
It is, yes.
He's piped up and said, "I want to place on my jersey and play."
Yes! Yes!
Good.
He's building up for the final.
Great. Get stuff. Him on.
And he also...
He could be like Blanco.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Well, you know, Blanco didn't come on against Argentina.
No, it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
His career would never be the same again. He dedicated the win against Mexico to MotoGP rider Valentino Rossi.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Something like, people thought... These two quotes don't really match up. It's odd. It's like a stream of consciousness where he just picks different things from different parts of his brain and they come out together. There are two things I want to say. People thought I knew nothing about how to be a coach, and I want to dedicate this victory to Valentino Rossi. Did Valentino Rossi say he couldn't be a coach or something?
Weird. But Maradona does like to do things against people, doesn't he, rather than as an achievement in itself.
Oh, yeah, he does, yeah.
Big time.
And who does Diego, apart from the English, who does Diego dislike the most?
German. Pelé.
Oh, yeah, shit, Pelé. All right, apart from him. Journalist, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And he piped up with a great shout to the... It was absolutely superb. Many journalists should apologise to my players.
But this is because they thought he was a rubbish...
Oh, yeah, because they were touted and because he's used loads of players. And
qualification, they were awful, yeah.
I'm not suggesting you drop your trousers. But it would be honest and great so we all get along better that you apologise. I'm turning 50 and I am not bitter. Don't know about that. But I get annoyed when people don't respect my players. It isn't easy going from being nobody's back home to winning three matches at a World Cup. At a training camp, we had to swallow what you journalists all said about being a disaster, the worst Argentine team you'd ever seen. All of a sudden, we're an excellent team, the most handsome people in the barrio.
Oh, the name nice.
Yeah, yeah. Great stuff. Oh, it's a great place to be, I tell you.
One should never forget that Diego Maradona managed Argentina at a World
Cup. I know, that's so mad.
They missed a training session because he just didn't get out of bed at a World Cup.
Oh, God. Speaking of getting out of bed at World Cups, how was your time in South Africa? Because that feels like, you know, you said you had that realisation that this was a thing you were committed to, stuff like that, and then you get flown out to a World Cup and get to enjoy it in that manner.
It was fantastic. It felt like a real adventure. Mm-hmm. I remember Marcus and I shared a room. It was back when we cut costs, so we all shared rooms and whatnot. There was a weird animal that lived on our roof. I remember that. It used to seem like it fell over every night. It was some clumsy animal on our roof, and we never figured out what it actually was.
It was a bit like A Quiet Place, but
it was a bit like that, actually, wasn't it? Yeah, We went down to the final, didn't we?
Yeah, we went to the City Stadium.
On the outside chance we'd be able to get some tickets from a tout that we might be able to afford. We knew we wouldn't be able to. We wanted to go down there and experience the atmosphere, but we actually watched the game in a fan park.
There was a Spanish bloke who said that he had a couple of tickets, and we were like, "Oh, what's the price?" And he's like, $1,200 or something. And we were like, yeah. We were hoping, I had like 150 quid. In yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we were hoping that the exchange rate might do some legwork, yeah. But it didn't. But it was a really brilliant experience in that it was a bit of a boot camp, wasn't it? Because we were really busy with a lot of different things. We were making, were we doing shows every day? I think we were.
Not far, but again, that shows you how we were then starting to be a bit more professional, because we took the whole portable studio thing out there, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Not a studio, it was a mixing desk and the microphones and all this. But we created a little studio in one of the rooms, of course. And again, like, you would think, oh, we're going for a bit of a jolly up and lads holiday and all that sort of stuff. No, and obviously there was a little bit of that, but also it's kind of like, right, we've got to do the shows, and your mentality starts changing on the task towards the task in hand. One of the things I do remember in the place where we stayed, there was that like cattle prod stick thing.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Is this for the animal on the roof?
Or human beings, just, yeah, maybe. Pete chased me around the house with it.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was terrifying. But fortunately, he was wearing his winkle pickers, so I knew I was going to get away. But the 2010 World Cup, England were dreadful.
Yeah.
Awful.
I mean, it was a dreadful
absolutely
World Cup.
Absolutely awful.
It? And England were particularly turgid.
And the journey that we've had as England fans throughout the Ramble has been an interesting one, because of the first tournament that we sort of covered, they weren't there.
Yeah.
In Euro 2008, that felt like, oh, that is the end of any sort of, you know, obviously there was that man Sven, and then there was McLaren, and that sort of period came to an end. And then Fabio Capello came along, and it was like, right, he's the man to sort out England. We all remember Capello, yeah. And he won the European Cup with Milan and all that sort of stuff. And then going to South Africa, England qualified very comfortably, as they tend to do. And England were dreadful. Like, it was so disappointing. That Algeria game, even though England didn't lose the game, I say in the foreword of the book, that my mates and I were watching that and then going to go to a birthday party after, and we didn't go to the party. we were just so flipping,
yeah,
jaded.
That was fascinating, because it was a game in which nothing happened.
A good solid clean sheet from the English, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're undefeated. Can anyone touch us now?
I've never seen a game improve by becoming boring before.
Yeah. We'll be right back with 2010 right through to 2015 after the break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
The 2010-2011 season. Pep Guardiola's winning the Champions League, like a lot. As Barcelona beat Manchester United in the final again.
It's David Villa. Brilliant. Brilliant Barcelona.
Impressive when they seem to only play Real Madrid for the entire second half of the season. Blackpool and Ian Holloway with a feel-good story in the Premier League. Arsenal blew a two-goal lead against Harry Redknapp's Spurs twice. They would then blow a four-goal lead at Newcastle. You know.
When Diaby got sent off, I just thought, nah, this can't happen, can it? And I got off, at 4-1, I got a text from a mate of mine going, no, this can't happen. We just knew. We're just kind of used to it now. It just wasn't even shocked by the end of it. It's just like, guys, stop doing this to me. One player is not worth four goals, especially when he's Abu Diaby.
Alan Pardew arrived at Newcastle on the back of a strong mandate. 40,000 Newcastle fans were polled on their next manager. 5.5% voted for him.
Alan Pardew at Newcastle.
Who'd have thought that would be such a big moment culturally and reflection? But it does feel like a golden era, doesn't
it? Yeah, it really does.
Silver era. Yeah.
And, you know, as Pete said, you know, Alan Pardew, don't make me sick in my mouth. You know, like he really didn't want it. But the aforementioned Pep Guardiola. This is when he, you know, in this season, but of course one or two seasons before that, became a manager of that great Barcelona side. Changed the way a lot of people look at football.
And it seemed instantaneous that this was something different, didn't it? That this guy is something special, and that Barcelona team in his first season. I think like they won every trophy available, didn't they?
And that was his first season. And were at the Champions League final
when they beat Manchester United.
Then you're going back a couple of seasons, and this one they won at Wembley when they, I mean, what a performance.
But absolutely, but we were still covering it. I think the Wembley one is possibly seen as sort of that, maybe the zenith of that team, but it was seismic at the time, wasn't it? You really sensed that we're watching one of the greatest teams to ever play the game here, and we'd already thought that about Frank Rijkaard's Barcelona towards the end. It was like those guys are chumps compared to these.
But this is when Spain was on top of the world, because Spain won the 2010 World Cup and tiki taka and that
was also great as well, because Spain had always underwhelmed. There was always a sense that Spain had more to give, and it all just exploded.
It really did. And all the while, Jose Mourinho's Real Madrid were trying to beat them up.
Yes.
Good Keys and Gray.
And there was the start of a long, beautiful appreciation of the incisive punditry of Keys and Gray. The last thing we recorded that season was a long list of football and nut puns, so we were speaking from a position of high authority.
Andy, our penalty's getting easier to say. And Andy Gray went...
To his eternal credit, he went, I'm not letting you have that one.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, more keepers are saving them.
I just thought as he draws all the players. And then he goes there, and then he goes there, and then he goes... Just put them there before you get there, Andy. Yeah. It's not chess. Come on.
But is it days like that where you miss Gray?
No.
Who's like me?
It's like the sport itself is so happy they've gone. It's a game.
I did love that little bit of AstroTurf that they've put in the corner for Andy Gray to sort of touch each other and sort of... He touches Gray a little bit.
Is that officially named the Midlife Crisis Corner? It just basically serves as another vehicle to just confirm that Andy Gray is a massive, flapping vagina of a man.
But yeah, it does have access to many plasma screens.
Yeah, it does. And for that, we give him credit.
I look at my job and my life. It's amazing.
I don't miss that. I don't miss the man just being smug about his life.
Oh, dear. No, I really mean that.
I think it was this year, in 2011, when, of course, they were... kicked out of Sky Sports, and it felt like a victory for us, but for a lot of people, really.
I think a victory for people who were kind of bored of that proper football man stuff, because that had started to become a sort of parody of itself, and the way they were doing it. It was getting so bloated and ridiculous that, you know, they believed their own hype so much that, you know, it was... It got so much that there was like a sustained campaign to take them down.
Yeah.
And their reaction was like, people are trying to bring us down, you know. And everyone's like, everyone understands that, Richard.
Are you Leo? Neymar. Facilidade do Neymar.
In the summer of 2011, people are starting to take notice of a player called Neymar, the next Pelé, they say. We're too busy reading Sammy Amiobi's Twitter to notice that just yet. And besides, there's some exciting young players closer to home, including a certain Sergio Aguero, fresh from Atletico Madrid.
Why don't he just stay where he was?
It's a lovely ball. And we've got two men in the middle. A lot of money to repay. He's just started.
Chaps, in Europe, Chelsea pulled off the most unlikely Champions League victory, of course.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
No, not having that.
Well, John Terry...
Not having it.
John Terry...
Unlimited budget, essentially. It's not unlikely. They're never the underdogs. They don't get to have this stuff.
They gave Gary Neville...
Well, without their brave captain, Jim. How dare you?
That Chelsea side gave Gary Neville a full-on orgasm at the Camp Nou, if you remember. Mm. But John Terry doesn't hold back getting involved in the celebrations, of course. Speaking of which, we had an opening question for how we'd celebrate when Roy Hodgson's England won Euro 2012. Yes, a bit optimistic. Mind you, at least Pete drunkenly bought two pianos while we were out there.
Long-term listeners will know Pete sometimes gets drunk and shops on the internet. Mm. The worst purchase he bought while drunk was a pair of TV glasses that didn't work because they weren't compatible with the glasses that he already wore.
Yes. That was in JFK Airport, though. That wasn't on eBay.
It was drunken purchase, though.
That was a drunken purchase, yeah. Yes.
And what did you drunkenly purchase yesterday? This is absolutely true.
Two pianos.
Two pianos.
Were they both for yourself?
I thought one of them had a reserve on it. Turns out it didn't, so I won them both. So in many ways, I'm I'm a winner.
It's not just
I won the auction. You want an auction winning? I'll win it for you.
Do you feel like a winner?
I feel like Rick Wakeman.
Yeah. To be clear, the Euros is already a success for me.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that's happened.
Good timing, Keith.
Yeah, it was good.
But do you know what was great as well is that, again, if you look at the England tournaments over the years, 2010, we've mentioned, 2012, 2014 didn't win a game.
Yeah.
We'll come on to that. 2016, again, very disappointing. Last minute winner against Wales, blah, 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 out to Iceland. The match we saw in Ukraine,
yes,
England 3, Sweden 2, was actually, in tournament football, was one of the rare kind of enjoyable
moments.
It was
very good, yeah. Danny Welbeck scored a brilliant goal, didn't he? Oh. We celebrated it twice. Once when it went in, obviously, and the second time when we saw the replay and realised that Welbs actually meant that. he meant the finish. Andy Carroll scored a goal, if I remember rightly. We went down and danced with a band, and you know how I feel about the band. Pete convinced himself we'd been getting drunk on what turned out to be lavender beer. It was a brilliant day.
I know. It was absolutely wonderful.
Lavender beer.
Yeah.
Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero!
Well, back on English shores, though, it was all about the final day. Wasn't it, Vish? Manchester City won the Premier League and, more importantly, made Joey Barton look like a clown with literally the last kick of the season. Anyone got some fireworks for Mario Balotelli's bathroom to celebrate?
Was that your favourite moment?
No, my favourite moment was a very historic moment, actually. The first time a commentator has ever had a male commentator has had an actual baby live on air.
Right.
And that was Martin Tyler.
Yeah.
What did he say? You will not see anything better than this ever again. It was an outrageous statement. And it made me long for the days of Barry Davis.
Mm. It's so long for the Barry Davis.
Who would have just would have gone, title.
That's interesting because I wonder what Luke thinks of that piece of commentary now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because at the time, I found it fucking annoying. I still find it annoying.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's... I feel like for other people, it has aged a bit better.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely one of those things where I feel like everyone else loves that more than I do.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Like Breaking Bad.
No, I really like Breaking Bad.
Well, you're the other person in this.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm you and you're you as well.
All right. This is... Yeah, that's confusing.
I thought it was amazing. I remember watching that in a pub in West London where there was QPR fans, and they were obviously gutted for a moment and then realised they were safe. But I remember leaving the pub and I had a headache because it was just so intense, the whole thing. Like it was an incredible final day for a neutral, of course.
Yes.
Like just to see all that and a new winner of the Premier League and blah, 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 blah. And to see Manchester United get mugged off by Man City like that. You just, growing up in the 90s and even and seeing the way Manchester United have gone about their business and winning trophies and so on, you just never thought that was going to be possible.
Yeah, well, I suppose the thought people would have had at the time was like, is this, is this just like the noisy neighbour getting one in? But I suppose, when you look back on it, it was the end of United's dominance and... I suppose the beginning of the end for that period in Manchester United's history. Did you see that coming at the time when you're doing the show and when you're seeing Manchester City go on that run, win it in that fashion, in a quite Manchester United fashion at the time.
Yeah. No, I thought up until Aguero scored, I thought that, because it was ebbed and flowed the season, of course, and Manchester United were ahead, and then Man City had that big lead, Manchester United came back, and then Man City started, and it was Kompany scored that goal 1-0 in the Manchester derby towards the end of the season, and Man City needed to win that game. But I just thought to myself, oh, Man City, they're building. We saw a bit like with Chelsea were building, and then Mourinho came and got them over the line. And I thought, oh, Man City are building, and this is going to go to Manchester United, and it'll be really gutting, and
really
will
painful.
There be? Yeah, really painful. They'd won the FA Cup, they beat Manchester United in the semi final, but I thought this is going to be really painful. Can they pick themselves up from that?
They were still fighting typical City at the time, weren't they? They were still fighting that idea of getting close and then falling short.
They were losing 2-1 at home to nearly relegated 10-man QPR. Yeah. That's how bad it was.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, and it was only when Aguero scored, you kind of go, bang, there's the moment, and the landscape's about to change.
I think for me, the reason I don't look on that moment with great affection is because people say it's like, you know, the greatest finish to a Premier League season ever, and it's one of the greatest moments in the Premier League, and I do understand that. But I think you can argue it's also one of the worst moments, because it's the point where tide changes, and you know, it shows that a stake can come in and make a team sort of, you know, just this unnatural force almost, where the playing field is so unlevel that actually it makes the whole thing less competitive, and you can pick from one or two contenders who's going to win the title at the start of the season. That's always been the case, but the names have changed a bit more, you know,
this is scratched it in stone now.
Exactly.
And this is
like a winning algorithm. And I'm sure when Guardiola leaves, there may be periods where that changes, but they're always going to be this very difficult hurdle to overcome. So for me, that's probably why I don't kind of get as excited about that. We were at least able to pay tribute to one former Man United legend, Dennis Poor. I mean, Law.
Who's Gorham?
Who's Andy Gorham?
Right, I've got an email here. My work friends and I were bored, so we started putting together a dog football team.
Oh, God. Did we not have anything else?
It's been light this week. Everyone wants a game.
What job is this? Can I apply?
Nobody's got a job at nowadays.
Come on. Here are some of the players. Luis Fido.
That is literally dog shit.
Dogoberto. Mark Rover Mars.
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
But that sounds like Mars Rover, which is
Darren Fetcher. Asmir Begovic.
Yeah.
Robert Woof.
Superb.
Wes Howlihan. Yeah. Per Red Setterberg. Sorry, Par Red Setterberg. There's loads of these. Dennis Poor. King Charles Ngzogbia. John Terrier. Jan Koller. Danny Shih Tzu, Stan Collymore, Nicky Mutt, DDA Dogba.
How many of these are there?
Oh, there's more. Doggy Zamora.
There's about 20.
Rodney
boys.
Jack Russell, Graal Morelesh, I like that.
Oh, that's very good.
Emil Husky, Johan Crufts.
That's gross.
Bark Jisung, Kenny Dogleash, Stray Given. Ian Walkies, Pop Guardiola, Poppy Rayner, Spaniel Alves, Mongrel Fox, Dober Manuel Petit, Anders Lindegaard Dog, and Mutt Letissier.
Hasn't really left us open to do our own, has
it? No. I don't think we need to add him.
Ian Bourne, Ian Warne. But I'll have a crack.
Team names are Black Lab Rovers, Leeds Untied, or Seattle Hounders, which I think has got to be a winner there. And that's from Ken Cross, who says thanks to all at G Casino Brighton. Cheers, Ken.
It's
been a slow week.
Brilliant.
All I can think of is Andy Paw's room.
Dennis Paw.
Get on.
Dennis.
Get on the back lamp, host.
Dennis Poor. So
I don't know who that is.
Sounds
Dennis
like a dog's
Poor.
Name. Sounds like a dog's name. It's a really good name.
He is good at back heels. Hey?
Dennis Poor.
Straight Given's up there for me.
Straight Given is good.
Zero, oh, dear.
We've got the next email. Is there another one?
There's never going to be one again.
No. It's a broken email.
Well, if you'd like to upset the whole world, show at thefootballramble.com.
We've completed emails.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The combination of Dennis Poor and Robert Woof has just...
Oh,
Let's have a profile for crying out
loud. The only thing I can think of is Dirk Snout.
They don't have snouts, do they?
2012-2013 marks Alex Ferguson's last season in charge of Manchester United. Thank fuck! Little old Swansea City won the League Cup and Roy Hodgson's England put 13 past those slugs San Marino.
Yeah!
13! Yeah. A few people wrote their names into Ramble folklore, from Sven's dreams of going to Thailand to Gigi Becali's latest escapades to that Newcastle fan who decided to punch a horse after a derby against Sunderland.
Gigi Becali. What a wanker.
How good was that explanation from that Newcastle fan who punched the horse?
Oh, right, that was magnificent.
It's the best interview I've ever seen.
I feed a fox.
Have you ever seen Frost Nixon?
No. Better.
Yeah.
More entertaining.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it how, like...
He was ashamed of his own actions, wasn't he? And was basically saying because he's got a fish tank.
Yeah.
He said he's got to feed a fox.
He started saying about, well, a fox comes in the garden every night, I feed it. And then he cut away to a fish tank and he just went, a fish tank.
He looked like Nigel Mansell, which made me laugh.
He seems to think he's got a fox as a pet.
Yeah, but that makes it... No, I do. That's a...
Comes through the fox flap.
That's De Canio saying his mates with Chris Bell.
Yeah, that's absolutely. He also said that he had a scarf over his face because his filling fell out and the cold weather was helping his mouth.
How people's minds work. You know, you put a camera in front of him, right, and he craps himself. You put a policeman on a horse.
Just refuse to talk. You don't have to give those interviews.
Just don't punch animals.
In the interview, he was saying, I'm worried about me job. So don't do the interview. Keep your head down.
I'm worried about your dog. What do you do? I work in a stable. Shit.
Well, actually, it wasn't his job. He was unemployed. and he was not going to find another job. What are you doing on telly then?
Yeah. I mean, it's hardly sort of like a brilliant calling card, is it?
No.
Did he go to the job?
Well, he can look after foxes very well.
He goes to a job with a scarf around his head. Get out.
So, Mr. Smith, thanks for popping in. Do you mind telling us what you've been up to when you've been on your pod? Did you see me on the telly? Good.
I wouldn't have known what he looked like because in the footage he had a scarf on his face.
And that's the point.
Doing the interview. Means that everyone knows what he looks like.
Yeah. Exactly. Can you do night shifts? No, I've got to feed the fox.
I've let me family down. I love the idea of that news being broken tonight. He's fucking punched another fucking horse.
I just like the idea that him
making
like,
us look so fucking stupid.
Feeding a fox is a euphemism for his horse punching fetish.
Yeah, like it makes up.
Oh, sorry, I'm really tight today because I was up feeding the fox. Do you mean horse punching? Yes.
Yeah. I'm as shocked as you. I've got a pet fox.
Oh, the horse punching.
Yeah, you obviously, we have to caveat it. We feel bad for the horse, etc., etc. You shouldn't be punching horses. But there are certain days doing this show where you cannot believe your luck with the events that have happened.
That event has given us so much. And like, especially with like the live shows, like it was still giving us plenty until about a couple of years ago.
This is what people who don't like football don't understand and they're missing.
Yeah. It's a little bit like that question, you know, where does a giraffe wear a tie? Where would you punch a horse? Would you because if you punch it as the Sunderland fan punches it, or sorry, the Newcastle fan punches it, it's right on the nose.
That interview was amazing because his whole tone was like, I'm as surprised as you. You won't believe it.
It's just superb, isn't it?
Incredible stuff.
Yeah, superb might be the wrong word to use, but you get the picture, everybody.
It's all over and Fulham are down.
Okay, Fulham relegated for the second time in 2 years. What are the lessons? Is tonight a microcosm of the problems they've had all season in terms of that penalty area and getting shots on goal?
Norwich and Fulham got relegated. 2013-14. Something's never
changed.
We'd
never see them again.
getting relegated together is big news, isn't it?
Yeah, you see, they were in the division together at one stage. Oh, yeah, and Alan Pardew told Manuel Pellegrini to shut your nose, you fucking old cunt.
That's one of my favourite things, again, that we've covered.
Oh, man.
Isn't Pellegrini like only 2 years older than Pardew?
Yeah, only
or
a few.
Some weird things like
they're
that.
Close,
shut your noise, you fucking old cunt. What a thing to say to someone.
Yeah, well, I hear that it's been picked up a little bit. I apologise for my comments, 100%. It was a heat-of-the-moment thing, and we just had words that we always have as managers to a degree. And I've apologised to him, and unfortunate
for myself that he's accepted that.
The World Cup, of course, happened in Brazil that year. Definitely wasn't easy for England fans, but it was pretty memorable for other reasons.
Oh, what a night they're going to have. They might have number seven here now. They have got seven. It's hammered in. An absolute terrific strike from Schürrle, who has his second in a matter of minutes. And this embarrassment for Brazil is more acute by the minute.
Fuck.
A lot of long-time listeners also seem to remember our tournament roundup show where Marcus just did not understand a thing about Game of Thrones.
And Jim's here. All right. Pete's here.
Stannis Baratheon.
But Luke the Lucky Sword isn't. He's in Greece.
Yeah, he's in Greece.
He's not done anything silly.
For Lord Ramble's wedding.
Yeah.
I'm heading out tomorrow. The Red Wedding. I'm going to make it the Red Wedding when I get out there. Where's me fingers?
Where? Very niche quotes. People might not understand.
Everyone watches Game of Thrones.
Everyone who listens to this show has to be used to that by now.
I don't watch Game of Thrones. I've no idea. Yeah, it was Football Ramble. We're recording this at
You're
1
just like the imp.
Come on, stop this.
You're not a tall man.
England are pretty much out of the World Cup. This is not a time for laughter.
It's exactly the time for laughter, Marcus Miller.
It's all we have left.
It's 10 past. Surely there's quite a lot. I mean,
well, one of the things I would say is, sorry to cut in again, is that winter is coming. No,
I've no idea what that means.
Is that this World
Cup? There you go. That's how you do it, boys. Cheers. 3 points. Lovely. Mm. Get lost.
Yeah.
You know, that's
off you go up the wall.
Yeah. Shut up. I'm not getting any of these.
If you shore up your defence, then you create a platform for your forward players. So it's not always negative.
But I don't think James Milner is negative. It's how you use him.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think James Milner's the knight in shining armour who could have got us through the next round.
But, ramble, football ramble, football ramble.
Stop it.
Football ramble, football ramble.
Game of bleeding rubbish.
Game of rubbish.
What a perfect title for this show, given what has just happened.
What was I bloody saying? Milner. So,
Milner, Jamie Milner.
Stop it now.
Jamie Lannister. What?
That's enough. Right, that's it, isn't it?
Now, this might not have been the biggest story in world football in 2014, of course, but it was one that brought us a lot of joy. Take it away, police machine.
There's been some spectacular match fixing in Nigeria.
Is this going to be another example of late max? If you're going to fix matches, do it early.
I said it last season. If you're going to fix a match, I'm not with you. But if I was going to do it, I wouldn't do this.
Let me set the scene. this is the most important thing that's on the running order. Two teams, Plateau United Feeders.
Good. Yeah. Good name.
Are they really going to sort Plateau? They're sort of consistent, at least. And Police Machine.
Police Machine's a great name for a team.
You'd expect them to be a little bit more honest, perhaps. They were going for promotion to Nigeria's lowest professional league. I think it's League 3. And this is decided in an amateur tournament, of course. Both sides had identical results going into their last matches. They both won their opening games 2-0. They drew 0-0 with each other. This meant it would be a case of which team could score the most goals in their final match.
Mm.
Police Machine. I mean, they set the bar high. They won their game 67-0.
Oh, Police Machine.
Sorry, can I have a quick word? It's probably nothing. It's probably nothing, but just in the interest of good practice, can I have a quick word just over there for a second? Yeah? That's what I'd be saying.
Wait,
yeah.
But it wasn't...
Who got your goals?
It wasn't enough.
Hang on, Police Machine.
As the goals go in, bam, bam, bam.
It wasn't enough because Feeders stuffed 79 past their opponents with no reply. 67-0 and 79-0. Suspicions were aroused.
The political correct has gone mad.
Can you imagine winning 67-0 and being beaten on goal difference? It's glorious.
Don't leave it late in the season.
But let me dissect it a little bit more.
I can imagine them winning 67-0 and say, do you want to wait around for their game? No point. Let's go to the pub. Straight to the pub. After a few beers. They've done what?
Oh, no. Well, apparently Feeders were only 7-0 up at half-time. 72 of the goals came in the second half.
That is almost 2 a minute.
Police Machine was 6-0 up at half-time and scored a more modest 61 in the second half. But I love that. They must have been in contact.
They're 7-0 up. They're 6-0 up. We both know what's going on here. Right.
Are the games playing at the same time?
Must have been.
Oh, that's quality. That's even better.
The Nigerian Football Federation.
Sounds like I couldn't do that by myself on a pitch. It sounds exhausting.
You couldn't even do it.
I couldn't run from the centre circle to the goal. I couldn't do that many times.
It's a goal every 40 seconds.
What I think is the funniest about this is, in your head, think of what the other team are doing while this is happening. They must literally just be standing there. That would that not be the longest 45 minutes of your life? My family have turned up. They're watching. Go on, Luke. You got it. Shut up.
Guys, go on, guys. Dad.
Go on, Dad. Should I go get your meat pie? Yeah, go and get a meat pie.
Oh, I'm so proud of you today, son.
Thanks. Oh, dear. The Nigerian Football Federation called it a mind-boggling show of shame.
The 65th goes in, one centre-back goes to them. That's your man. That's not my fault. That's your man.
Nigerian Football Federation Vice President Mike Ume said, "It was embarrassing that in one of those games a player scored 11 times, while in the other four goals were scored within a minute and a player scored three own goals."
Tahiti are going, what? What's the problem?
Oh, dear. They're all banned. They're all banned.
Banned.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Well, I think that's hasty. At least they have an investigation.
You need more proof.
One of my favourite things that's ever happened while we've been doing it. How did they think they would get away with that? Man, it just... The teams were barred from competing for 10 years.
Again,
silly,
as you said,
machine.
Jim, sometimes a story comes up, and because of what we are and what we do, you can't believe your luck.
You touch our shores with your corrupt enterprise, whether that is through meetings or through using our world-class financial system, you will be held accountable for that corruption.
In May 2015, it happened. The FBI cracked FIFA.
Oh, yes.
For years, we laughed and rolled our eyes at the utter nonsense that was football's chief governing body, but here it was, finally confirmed. 14 FIFA officials were arrested on corruption charges over the awarding of the 2018 and 2022 World Cups. And boy, was there a lot of drama.
The thing I find fascinating about it is how it's developed in the last sort of 24 to 48 hours, where we've got Chuck Blazer, who clearly was flipped by the FBI because he knew he was busted for a couple of $1 million worth of offshore, essentially bribes, right?
But then
they got him to flip on FIFA by giving him a FIFA keyring with a wiretap in it, which is amazing.
It's like an episode of The Wire, isn't it?
Yeah, but then Andrew Jennings pipes up and says, "Oh, they're probably collecting more evidence to try and get Blatter, and we wonder whether Jack Warner is going to be used along with his sons to sort of pull in his heartstrings to flip on Blatter." But then Andrew Jennings throws the curveball and says, I wouldn't be surprised if Sepp Blatter's already shopped them all.
Yeah.
In return for his own clemency.
That's right.
It's like that film Infernal Affairs, which is the basis of the film The Departed.
Yeah.
Where no one knows who's working for who.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's incredible, isn't it?
I also love that Jack Warner tried to use a story from The Onion to justify his own. That's
brilliant.
Absolutely astounding.
Yeah,
a
spoof story, in case you missed this one, where the Onion is obviously a spoof publication, and Warner read out a story they did about the US wanting to host the World Cup this year, starting on the 27th of May, which is when it all kicked off.
Yeah.
And Warner's going, "You see this? Do you see this?" Oh, Jack. Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Ridiculous list knows no bounds.
Yeah, it's becoming very clear that he misunderstood the meaning of the term vice president. It's just like,
yeah, I'm going to go crazy.
Naturally, we wondered who could be a better SWAT team for FIFA HQ than the FBI. A few listeners recalled Pete's answer.
I go for the Granoli Swedish footballers of post-war times.
Because
you've got two Gunnars. Because you're going to need guns. You've got two Gunnars and a good lead home.
Nicholas Lead home.
Yeah. I mean, it's pithy, if nothing else, Jim.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
That's even worse, considering
how is that even worse?
Well, I'll tell you.
It's got history. It's got a call back to a previous ramble. It's got me going on the internet.
Jim's got all of that in his first in one player.
You said from the world of football.
Yes.
Right.
You know, Pete, it is absolutely fascinating to see what happens when you do research.
Yeah. I think you should go back to asking what the question is about before we start.
All right.
Do you want another go?
No, I think that's good. Two Gunners, because you're going to need firepower and a good lead.
Why didn't you have the Arsenal team? They're the Gunners, you fool.
Because then that wouldn't make any sense. You got two Gunners.
Stop saying it.
Two Gunners.
You'd have a squad of Gunners if you chose Arsenal.
Two Gunners and a lead home.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm forgetting lead home.
Yeah, you are.
I stand corrected, ladies
Where's yours?
And gentlemen.
Magic Mike.
Well, I went for Peter Reid.
I'm throwing this cup at you.
Magic Mike. People listening are going to think he's totally naked.
What do you recall from the, from that whole kerfuffle, as it were, around FIFA and the years beforehand? Because as you said, it was quite a fertile ground for content, wasn't it? And it was almost like we were always laughing at it, but it wasn't, you know, there was there was condoning of it, but there was also enjoying it for what it was, nonsense.
Yeah, I think because it was so obvious that the organisation was as silly as it clearly is, there was a bit of exasperation in there, wasn't there? Mm. And I think because they seem to just get away with so much and their attitude to themselves really was almost that they were like this sort of world government rather than a sporting body.
A floating government.
Yeah, they really, really thought that they were so much more important than they are. And that sort of bulletproof confidence, when someone has that, it makes you think that they are actually untouchable, that you start to believe the hype that they themselves are believing. So when actually it all came crashing down around them, we couldn't believe our luck.
Yeah.
It was like a sort of... It was better than Christmas, almost, because Christmas happens.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right, and regularly. But I think that without blowing our own trumpet, although, you know, we are talking about our 15th year anniversary, so allow me. I think, in a way, that very few, if any other outlets, podcasts, websites, whatever, we'd been calling out FIFA for ages. Now, obviously, we would just a little podcast, so, you know, we're not the BBC or something like that. But we had been going on and on about FIFA and pointing this ridiculous nonsense, as you say, out with Sepp Blatter and characters like Jack Warner and Chuck Blazer as well, rest in peace, and rest in purgatory. And we'd been saying this for so long, and it had just got so obvious. I mean, there was once, I remember, we were talking about a story around the South Africa World Cup where FIFA had done a deal with Robert Mugabe's son, who had a company doing things. And the quote from FIFA, Blatter, whoever it was who said it, said, "I know this looks like a deal that we're doing because it's Robert Mugabe's son." And we were just like,
yeah.
I mean, you've said that.
Go on.
And at the end of the story, I just remember we sort of laughed, joked and ridiculed it. And Jim, you just went, "Come on. Just come on," you know, and that's the extent. And of course, with giving the World Cup to Qatar, they went too far.
And even Sepp Blatter thought that.
October 2014 also saw the birth of Jim's quite infamous description of Sean Dyche. Yeah. That week, the opening question was, who is the Premier League's hardest manager? And this was Jim's first response.
Yeah, well, I just think he does look quite hard. I think his voice throws me because, look, I appreciate this is quite an abstract thing, but his voice reminds me of what it would sound like if basically a ball bag that had been at the beach all day and was covered in sand was like. That's sort of what his voice is like to me.
A man's ball bag.
Does that make a sandy ball bag. That's what I think. If a sandy ball bag had a voice,
right,
it would be Sean Dyche's voice. It's what I'm saying. Well, this has got nothing to do with the question, but I just thought I had to share it.
Does that make him hot or not?
I don't know.
Okay. It's a nice input.
A sandy ball bag that can talk.
Oh, he's not beating piss in a ruck.
No, no way.
I mean, what better place to end it? Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble at 15, part one. Kate, Luke and Pete will be back tomorrow for part two.
Cheers.
Thank you.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.